So our text for this morning's meditation is from the epistle reading, these words, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Holy Spirit in our text tells us that it's a good thing, a really good thing, to know how to think about God, and even to know how to speak about God. In other words, it is good for us to acquire knowledge. Knowledge of who God is and how it is we should speak about him. Especially as we have come to know him through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In fact, it is Jesus himself who is the key to our knowledge of God and to our way of speaking about God. Now, this is a wonderful thing, a marvelous thing, a beneficial happening. For knowing how to think about anything and then to talk about that thing, it's always beneficial, isn't it? Always. I mean, whatever the topic, whatever the situation, whatever the moment, if our knowledge is right, if our speech is right, well, then we can do no better, can we? Here we can think of such a thing as Google, as that search engine on our computers, in our searching and our being so frustrated with the results or lack thereof until we type the right search term in the right way. And at that point, we get so much information that we're overwhelmed. Sure, we know that in conversation sometimes we just can't find the right words to say. And in interactions, important interactions with other people, with doctors or lawyers or bosses or employees or friends or family members, yes, we know that when we talk to others often, we cannot come upon exactly what to say until hours or days or weeks or months later. And then that light bulb goes on in our head and we say to ourselves, ha, 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 I should have said that. So let's not kid ourselves. Knowing what we should know and saying what we should say is part and parcel of our everyday lives. And yet, when it comes to Christ, our Savior, and our faith in him, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature would convince us continually that knowing more about God and how he's revealed himself to us in his Son, Jesus, and knowing how to talk about that, it's of no benefit to us whatsoever. None. Nada. For all we really need when it comes to God is some vague concept of divinity, and when it comes to speaking about God, a few stock phrases that we can throw out when they're needed. Instead of knowing our Savior Jesus in our hearts and minds and souls and hoping to be able to speak to others about him, we have come to be somewhat taken aback that it is implied that more knowledge about Christ would be beneficial for us. And certainly there should be a certain way to talk about him, about Christ. I mean, isn't it enough nowadays that people are religious? Does not some sort of passion for a religious life of some sort translate to worldly benefits of one sort or another in the here and now? Isn't it enough that we simply acknowledge that some sort of divinity exists, and then we can leave it at that? Well, then how do we think about questions of our existence? About suffering? About justice? Injustice? How are we supposed to understand what life itself is and our place in it? The world and how we use it. Our bodies and how we use them. What about our fellow human beings? How should we think about them? About children? About the elderly? What about experiences of sadness and loss, of hopelessness and purposelessness? Well, Pastor, we have all sorts of books about that stuff. Websites, experts, television shows, even governmental resources, think tanks, magazines, journals. We have that show 60 Minutes, the Wall Street Journal, the Star Tribune, the Pioneer Press. We have schools and colleges and universities, and we have our own wits. We can figure out all that stuff all on our own. We don't need greater knowledge of God, of Jesus, even of how to speak about them, to know how to think about those topics, and even then to talk about them. We don't need them. Well, how's that working out for you? How's that working out for you? Are you living in peace? Are you living in assurance, confidence, contentment? Or are you constantly angry, fearful, despairing, sad? And could it be that we are that way and have become that way because we are just constantly confronted by and overwhelmed by so much knowledge and information and data and interpretation of that data and the political response to that data that we simply don't know what to think. So we don't know what to say. The last thing we need is more information, that is more knowledge, even if it is about our loving Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But in reality, that's exactly what we need. That is exactly what we need. We need to shut off our computers, turn off our televisions, turn off our radios, sign off our tablets, silence our cell phones, and pick up the Bible. For it's there in the Word of God that we find the answers to the questions that plague us continually, causing nothing but consternation and exasperation. Holy Spirit tells us in our text that in Christ we have been enriched in all speech and knowledge. And what that means is that in Christ, through faith in Christ, we have become, through the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, new creations. New creations, who we truly are, our lives, what we are now and what we will be forever, our lives being hidden with Christ in God, not visible to the world, but certainly a reality within us. And that's why we can read in Romans 12. That's why we find there, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewal of your mind. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, often we think that being conformed to the world is acting like the world acts. And so we try not to do that. We try not to act like the world acts. But being conformed to the world also means thinking like the world thinks and speaking like the world speaks. And so the transformation, the renewal of our minds, which is ours through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is also a transformation of our thinking and a transformation of our speaking, a renewal of our thinking, a renewal of our speaking. Yes, through faith in Jesus, our sins, our faults, our missteps are forgiven. Our sins removed from us, as far as the heaven is from the earth, as far as the east is from the west. As well, our guilt and our shame are removed. But along with that forgiveness, on top of that forgiveness, as a result of that forgiveness, is that peace which passes all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That is, keeping our thoughts dominated by the fact that who we truly are is hidden along with Christ in God, and that all these questions with which we are daily bombarded truly do have their answer in Jesus Christ. So 1 Corinthians 18, 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So what then does all that mean? What does it mean that God has made foolish the wisdom of this world? Does that mean that if we believe in Christ, we know everything and the world is just simply stupid? No, that's not what that means. What it means is that the perspective, the point of view, the way of looking at the world, which the world so seeks. Think of it this way. Think of it that way. I have the true perspective. No, I have the right way of thinking. What it means that God has made foolish the wisdom of the world through the cross of Jesus is that in that cross, in the crucifixion of Christ and what resulted from it, the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, washing and regenerating and renewing, which occurred when we were baptized into Christ, all of this opened to us, all of this, what happened in Christ for us on the cross, it opened to us a heavenly perspective to our earthly existence. The heavenly perspective of our earthly existence in which we can live from day to day to day in a peace that passes all understanding. Now, what does that mean? It means it's a peace that exists even though it should not. Even though it should not. I mean, any one of us, if we look at our lives and where we have been and what we have done and what we have said, where we are now, how our lives look, and even as we look to the future with so many questions, any one of us looking at our lives should not be in peace. But we should, if we're honest with ourselves, we should be in utter terror and fear and dread. But we're not. We're not. In Christ, we are not. In Christ, in whom we have been enriched in how to speak about the world and ourselves and our neighbor, how to think about the world and ourselves and our neighbor, in Christ, who is the power and the wisdom of God, we have now a heavenly perspective in which we daily can live this earthly life. So our gospel reading, where a lawyer wanted to know if Jesus knew and understood the law of how to live in this world with others, and Jesus, having answered his question, responded with his own. Who's the Lord? Who's the Lord? Is he not more than simply an earthly king? Is not the Lord God himself? And adding to this question, one for us. One for us. If Jesus Christ is truly this same Lord, the Lord God himself, and he would, by his Spirit, teach us daily how to think and speak, should we not listen? Should we not listen and learn? And if we do not, are we ourselves not simply fools? Fools truly in a worldly sense? Fools who have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven and have misplaced them? Fools who would rather live in our foolishness than admit that we are actually fools? That is, we're narrow-minded, self-centered, narcissistic, ignorant, and arrogant fools. That's why we heard in our Old Testament reading, the simple imperative, the simple command from God our Heavenly Father, be no longer stubborn. Be no longer stubborn. Now, it's easy to recognize when someone around us is being stubborn, but how about ourselves? How about ourselves? Again, let's shut everything off. Let's open our Bibles. The wisdom of God, true wisdom, is found only in Jesus Christ, in whom we have truly been enriched in all speech and knowledge. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.